Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you, as always, due in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, listen, friend, if he isn't yours, I want him to be. If he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he came to be. The Word of God tells us clearly in the book of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if that's you, friend, listen, you can be saved today. You can be saved right now if you realize you're a sinner. Repent of your sin and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. Listen, that's what Jesus came to do, to seek and to save. Hey, I've opened my Bible up to the book of Numbers chapter 16. Just going to read a couple of verses of Scripture out of that passage, but I'll share the message with you that God has laid on my heart. My friend, listen. God has done some wonderful things for us sinners that are under the curse of sin, that has the condemnation of God upon us, who, listen, friend, we're not going to see whether we're saved or lost. We're already lost if we've not trusted Christ as our Savior, but He has made a plan for us, and that's what we're going to talk about in this great passage of Scripture. So Debbie's going to do a song. The title of it is He Knew. And he did know. He knew from the very start what we are, what we need, what would need to be done to make us something different. You enjoy the song Debbie's going to do again. It's entitled He Knew, and I'll be back with a message in a moment.
From the beginning, the Father said to the Son, you must go and die.
did, friend, and he still does, by the way. What a beautiful song done by a beautiful lady. I love you, Debbie. Appreciate you. Well, look, we're going to look into the Word of God really, really quick today. In the book of Numbers, chapter 16, I'm going to share just a part of this passage, this last paragraph in chapter 16 of the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is just a phenomenal, paragraph, I believe. Listen to what Moses said. Listen to what Moses said in verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. They fell upon their faces, meaning he and his brother Aaron. And Moses said unto Aaron, now watch this, so take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar. Put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, watch this, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put incense and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood, watch this, between the dead and the living of the plague. Was stayed. I'm going to talk to you today by the grace of God for just a few moments of time, and I pray that God will bless this voice, this mind, this heart of this old country preacher. I'm going to talk to you about standing between the living and the dead, or the dead and the living, excuse me. I'm going to talk to you about standing between the dead and the living. What an awesome thing to think about. And can I tell you in reality, can I say humbly, and yet I believe sincerely, that every Christian that's living, every man, woman, boy, or girl that names the name of Christ has both an obligation and an opportunity to be this man like Moses was, to get between the dead and the living. Now, let me set this up for you if I can. My, what a time it was in the nation of Israel. They'd been not long coming out of Egypt's bondage. They were just newly started in some degree in their wilderness journey, where in the 40 years that they were to wander, 600,000 men, besides two, Joshua and Caleb, would die in the wilderness, let alone the women that were with them. They had murmured and complained about everything that you could think about. And it seems to me that God has killed more people, at least in that day, over murmuring and complaining than anything else. But they complained about the water. They complained about the bread. They complained about this and complained about that. And in this chapter 16, we find a mutiny led by a man by the name of Korah, accompanied by two men by the name of Abihu. What were their names? Let me look at it. Right here it is, Dathan and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram. They rose up and led a great mutiny against Moses and against Aaron's, God's chosen among the children of Israel. They were driven by jealousy, actually. They were driven by the position that God had chosen for this man Moses, his brother by the name of Aaron. And they did their best to intrude into an office and a position that God had not called them to, nor God had not qualified them for. If you read the whole chapter, you understand what happened. Something remarkable. God judged those people. God judged Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I mean, in fact, there was something remarkable happened. The earth under their tents opened up and it swallowed them up in just a moment. And look now, it created great fear among the people of Israel that day. Oh, look, Moses and Aaron, when they came murmuring against them, they got on their face before God, and God instructed them what to do. And the people, the next day, after they got over their fear a little bit, look how hard their heart is. They went back to Moses and Aaron and said, look, you killed the people of God. You've taken too much upon you. This Korah, Dathan and Abiram, they were accompanied by 250 princes, chief men of that nation. Well, I'll tell you, friend, it's amazing what one person could say and start and do and how it can catch fire. And we're seeing that in our nation in a lot of ways today. But God said, listen, to Moses and Aaron. I tell you what, you tell those people to come before the tabernacle and we're going to take care of this fight. And look, there's such beauty in this passage. Chapter 17, listen, I believe is the picture of Moses' rod that budded and how that pictures Christ and His priesthood and how God once and for all, listen, said, hey, He's the one that I have sinned. He's the one that can do the work that needs to be done. But let me get back to my message in chapter 16. Moses and Aaron went before God again to the tabernacle, began to intercede for that bunch that should have been on their faces before God, repenting instead of complaining and criticizing, pointing their finger at Moses and in reality at God, because God had chosen both Moses and Aaron. And God said, look, God said, I've had about enough of this. I've had about enough of this rebellion. I've had about enough of this mutiny. I'm going to send a plague. I'm going to bring judgment. Can I tell you, friend, listen, God is not just a God of love. He's a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. And God is just in all things that He does. True and righteous are His judgments altogether, the Bible does say. And look, while the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron, God showed up at the tabernacle as He oftentimes did. His glory, His Shekinah glory, covered the place. And I want you to know that Moses had some insight. Moses had some understanding of what God was doing. Look, the children of Israel saw the works that God was doing, but Moses knew the way of them. Moses knew what God was doing and why God was doing it. Moses and Aaron came to the tabernacle of the congregation, and Moses, thank God, who was insightful, he was spiritually minded, he was able to discern, he was like the sons of Issachar, was able to discern the times that they were living in. He said, hey Aaron, here's what I need you to do, son. Do it as quickly as you can. You go in there and get your censer. You go in the tabernacle. You get you some fire off the altar. You get you some incense. And run. Go as quickly as you can. And stand in the middle of the people. You get between the dead and the living, because the plague has begun. Can I tell you, since the Garden of Eden, the plague has begun. Men and women are dying. Boys and girls are dying. Hey, listen, hell is enlarging its borders every day. We've not only got strangers dying and going to hell, folks, but our family is, our loved ones, our classmates, our workmates. Hey, I'm telling you, people in our community, in our neighborhood, they're dying and going to hell, and somebody needs to get between the dead and the living. Can I tell you, Aaron did. Who's the type of Jesus? And I'll tell you, Jesus did. He did what neither Aaron could do, nor I could do, or even Abraham could do, or Moses could do, or Stephen could do. But all I'll tell you, friend, we can do something. We need to do something. Now let me give you my spiritual disclaimer. I don't have this down as pat as I'd like it. I do go door knocking. I'm always willing to lead somebody to Christ, do radio ministry, pulpit ministry. Hey, friend, listen, I'll tell you, I try to get between the dead and the living. I intentionally want to get between somebody that's going to hell, that will be lost forever. I don't always succeed at it, but I know I ought to always be aware of that. Listen, friend, Aaron went in. He did what Moses told him to do. He did it quickly. And you know what the Bible said? The plague was stayed. The plague was stayed. Ah, listen, Moses had an awareness. You know what? Nothing will be done by me or you unless there's an awareness in our heart that God has called us to be witnesses for Him. God has called us, let me say it this way, to lay claim to our Jerusalem, our Judea, to Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. God has called us to be witnesses for Him, and God wants us to get between the dead and the living, like Abraham got between God and the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah and his nephew Lot and his family. You remember that, don't you?
You remember that great story in the book of Genesis chapter 18 when Abraham entertained the Lord and two angels that were to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the city of the plains. I called them justice and judgment. You remember that? Abraham got between the Lord and Sodom and Gomorrah, began to plead, began to say, "No, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people down there, surely you won't destroy the righteous with the wicked." And God said, "No, I won't." And Abraham got him down to 10, and he had to leave off there. He wasn't sure that Lot was even saved. If we had closed the book on Lot in chapter 19 of the book of Genesis, none of us would have known he was saved either, but Peter, the Holy Spirit did, and Peter wrote that just Lot was delivered. Hey, listen, there's somebody in your family, somebody in your purview of life, somebody within your reach, sir, man, that can be reached by you. All you got to do is get in the way. All you got to do is be quick about it. All you got to do is put that brand out of the fire. All you got to do is go into intercession before them. All you got to do is confront them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moses was aware of it. We got to be aware of the day, the hour. We got to be aware of the situation of men's souls. We got to be aware of what God tells us to do, calls us to do. Hey, listen, friend. And then when we become aware of it, we got to be like Aaron. We got to run to it. Well, I like that. Moses said, "Go quickly." And when Aaron got the, when he got the censer, he took the incense and put it in, and smoke began to raise up, and he went right into the midst of things. Oh, he wasn't welcome there. It's hard to knock on a door and say, "Hey, could I ask you, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" It's not easy to do that. We feel like we're rejected if the door gets slammed in our face, but it's not us in reality. It's the one we're representing. He didn't tell us we had to win everybody. We won't win everybody, but thank God we'll find somebody that wants to go to heaven, that knows they're lost and knows they need a Savior. And old Aaron, bless God, he got his censer. He took incense and put it on the fire that he had, and he went and stood in the midst. Hey, they murmured against him. They complained against him. But he went right where he was needed. That's what we need to do. We need to get in somebody's way. We need to stand between the dead and the living. Aaron did. He ran. He ran. He ran. And he took his stand. Isn't that amazing? He stood right where the plague was. He stood right around where people were dying around him. Oh, isn't that something? What was 14,700 people died? And when Aaron did what Moses commanded him to do, you know what happened? Because he obeyed, the plague ceased. Oh, look, isn't it amazing? Jesus died at Calvary. He was the anti-type of Aaron. He did what none of us can do. He took care of the plague. He stopped the plague. Listen, he stood like and stood where no one else can stand. And yet there are people dying lost. And yet there are people that are going to hell. But you know what? He took his stand in the right place for the right reason. And so must you and I. There Aaron stood. He was in his priestly garments, I doubt not. He had his censer. He had incense therein. He had fire. And all, you know what that's a type of? It's a type of intercessory prayer. And it's a type of other things too. That smoke, I can just see it in my mind ascending to the throne of God. I can just see God just breathing in real deeply, just taking an inhale of that prayer that he was praying. And he said, "Oh, that pleases me. I'm going to stop the plague. It's enough. 14,700 is enough." Hey, listen, friend. We may not see. We may not see everybody saved, but we ought to get somebody saved. We ought to go stand between the dead and the living. We ought to get somebody on our heart. We ought to get somebody on our mind that we know, as far as we know, is lost. They're undone. They need Christ. It's a husband. It's a wife. It's a son, a daughter, a mom and a dad, a grandmother, a grandfather, a grandson, a granddaughter, a brother, a sister, an aunt and an uncle, a friend, a neighbor, hey, even an enemy. I don't care. Hey, we need to get in somebody's way. We need to go stand between the dead and the living. And you know what? Something happened. Something happened. Something happened when Aaron was obedient to the command. When Aaron was obedient to the command of his brother Moses. When he did what he was supposed to do, ran in the midst of that group where the plague had already taken 14,700 people. He found his place and stood. He ran. He ran right in the midst of that place, of that danger, of that plague, in amongst people that did not like him. They were rebelling against him. They had stood up against him and his brother, and they were the only two that could really make intercession for them and still the plague or stay the plague. And that's right where Aaron did. You know what? Trying to win souls, trying to tell people about Jesus. Listen, may put you in uncomfortable places, but somebody's got to stand between the dead and the living. And Aaron was willing to do that. Are you? I mean to tell you, he went. He stood. And listen now, the Bible tells us the plague was stayed. Isn't that amazing? God said it's enough. God said it's enough. Hey, listen. I know people are going to die. There's going to be a day that this enemy called death will come to its end. It's already been defeated on Calvary. I mean to tell you, it's already met its master in Jesus Christ when He tasted death for every man. But the sad part of it is not every man will be saved. There are people that could be. There are people that should be saved. But Jesus said, "Ye would not come unto me, not that ye could not come unto me. You would not come unto me that you might be saved." But can I tell you what? Someone was needed in that day. When the wrath of God began to be poured out against a rebellious people, a murmuring and complaining people, and somebody had to do something. And boy, I'll tell you what Aaron did he not? He did it at the behest of Moses, his brother. And can I tell you, sir, ma'am, if you're saved, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God has called us to something mighty. He has called us to share the good news of the gospel. We sing that song from time to time. We have heard the gospel sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You say, "Preacher, how can I stay the plague?" Well, the picture, obvious picture is that Aaron prayed. That's what that censer is, and that incense that was in it, and the smoke that ascended up. Listen, friend, we need to pray till we pray. When's the last time you've wept over somebody lost and undone, wanting to see them saved? When's the last time you pushed your plate back and said, I'd rather pray and fast than I would eat. I'd rather talk to God about somebody that I want to see saved." Hey, friend, listen, God's still in the saving business. His Son is still occupying the throne of grace and mercy. He's there welcoming whosoever will. And somebody's got to get in the sinner's way. Somebody's got to. Now, you know, when we were growing up, we were told, don't you jump the line. Don't you get in front of somebody. Don't you get in that person's way. I'll tell you what, when it comes to the soul of mankind, when it comes to determining whether that man, woman, boy, or girl that you know, that you love, maybe they're a family member, a passing acquaintance, I don't know who it may be, but somebody's got to get in their way. Somebody wrote a song some time ago. The title of it is, "Somebody Prayed for Me." They got down on their knees. They sacrificed their time. Well, look, friend, that's what it's going to take. And we've got both, as I said in the beginning, the opportunity and the obligation to be that individual. To be that individual. Oh, look. Look, friend, time's running out. Don't you agree with that? I mean to tell you, people are dying every day. We expect the old to die, but the young may die. Unfortunately, just a few days back, I buried a 27-year-old individual. Isn't that sad? 27 years old, and now in eternity. Oh, listen, friend, we need to get in somebody's way. And we need to run. We need to be aware. And we need to go stand. We need to stand our ground. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face and do what Jude said. We need to pluck that brand out of the fire. Oh, listen, friend, let's do it today. Let's ask God to burden us. Let's ask God to give us somebody who we can pray for and get in their way lest they die, go to hell. Hey, let's stay the plague, if you will, until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.